Died. We're going to talk about that this morning. I trust you can say, I am walking daily by the Savior's side. So I trust everyone in here knows that you've been washed in the blood, that there's no doubt in your mind you have been born again by faith in Christ alone, through grace alone. But are you walking daily by the Savior's side? So Psalm 92 is where we will be this morning. Turn if you would. We'll go back to where we read earlier. The worst part about people being sick, actually because they feel bad is part of the problem, but also we didn't have choir this morning, so that's a bummer. That always adds to the service. The only good thing is I can preach longer. I got a couple amens. Well, we'll see. We'll be out of here before the game starts tonight at 8:30. So, Psalm 92, verses 12 through 15. The title is, Where Are You Planted? And I was thinking about this concept as we look at this passage. It talks about being planted in the house of the Lord. And so I started doing some research on where you plant things and soil and that kind of stuff. And I didn't realize how vital various kinds of soil are. In fact, there's not a whole lot of soil on the earth, which is why they tell us it is so dangerous to put certain things and chemicals into the ground because it affects the soil. Now, the earth is made up a lot of dirt, but the soil, the top part, which is so vital, it has all the nutrients and the minerals and the earthworms and other things to help with the production of food for us. So we need soil. The soil is very important. It's interesting that various types of plants, they use different types of soil. We used to have, I'm not sure where we were, what house it was, but I planted some rose bushes. And they would bud, and they would look gorgeous, and then they would open up, and they would look disgusting. And every time, and every year, I'd cut them back and prune them and everything. I'd fertilize, I'd do everything you could, and every year they would do the same thing. They would look beautiful as a bud, and they would come out, and they looked nothing like a rose. And I knew there were roses. And, you know, talking to various people, they said, well, it all depends on what kind of soil they're in, because roses need a certain type of soil that other plants can live in that roses don't really like. And so I thought that was interesting, and I didn't fix the soil. I just forgot about the roses and stopped playing with them. But when, you know, we understand that concept, God doesn't do that with us. God knows exactly what kind of soil I need. He knows exactly what kind of soil you need for your life. And God does everything he can to produce the right kind of soil so that you and I can produce the right kind of blossoms, the right kind of plants, the right kind of flowers. And here's the thing, in the Christian world, in the church today, there's a bunch of different flowers, right? So God is concerned about working on the soil in my life because he has a specific flower that he wants out of my life, and it's different than yours. And in fact, it's different from every other person on the face of the earth, and yours is too. Yours is unique. Nobody will bloom exactly the way you bloom if you're walking in fellowship daily by the Savior's side. If you're planted where he wants you planted, you will produce what he wants you to produce. And we were created by him and for him. We're not alive to blossom for ourselves. We are not alive for us. We are here. We were put on the earth for him. And he is to get all the glory out of our lives. We spend so much of our time worrying about our lives and what we're doing. We're planning and plotting and figuring out our life so that we can have a great life for ourselves. And we need to spend more time thinking about, God, what do you want to do in my life so that I can produce fruit for you? And here's the great thing. When you are producing fruit for God and you're doing everything, you're walking daily by the Savior's side, your life will be better than if you simply tried to plan your life apart from God. So what a blessing. Psalm 92, a great psalm. We won't go through the whole psalm. We could have, but we're going to have a hard time just getting through verses 12 to 15. But look at what it says in verse 12. It says this, the righteous. Who are the righteous? The righteous are those who are straight. Those who are the ones who follow God's plan and God's path. It is those who are in fellowship with God. Those who are saved and walking daily by the Savior's side. By the way, I didn't pick that song. That's just amazing how God puts the songs together with the message. But the righteous, those who are in fellowship with God, those who are straight, God says, shall flourish like a palm tree. That's a date palm tree, not a coconut palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those to be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Lord, help us as we look at this passage and dissect it, try to put it back together so that we can see what it is that you want us to learn for our own personal individual lives. Lord, we want to flourish in the house of God. And I trust you'd help us to understand what that means. May we be excited, not just about the singing, not just about the message of the Word of God, but the fact that you want to walk daily by our side. Thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. The righteous flourish. Again, who are the righteous? The righteous are those who, number one, have to be saved. You have to be saved to be righteous. You have to be acceptable. You have to be pleasing to God. The only way that I can be pleasing to God is if I do what God says to do about how I get saved. There's all kinds of theories out there today about how you become right with God. Every religion has their mindset of this is how you become right with God. And I've said before, there are going to be bazillions of Baptists in hell. Because they do not know that you get to heaven by personal faith in Jesus Christ alone, by turning from their sin, repenting of their sin, and embracing Christ alone as your Savior. There's a lot of people who've grown up in a Baptist church. They prayed a prayer when they were a little kid. They were in Sunday school, and their dear old sweet Sunday school teacher told them, and they prayed this prayer, but they never understood it in their heart. And here they are, 10, 20, 30, 50 years later. And they're living an ungodly lifestyle. And if you were to ask them, are you saved? They would say, yes, I remember because when I was 5, 6 years old, I prayed this prayer. Of course I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. I believe the story. I believe the cross. But they're no more saved than Judas Iscariot was saved because they didn't have a change in their heart. And so the righteous, those who know for sure they've been born again, but the righteous have to be practically righteous too, right? So it's not just those who are genuinely saved, because there are people who did pray that prayer and they're just backslidden. And they've been backslidden for 10, 15, 20 years. They were genuinely saved. They were genuinely converted, but something happened and they got angry and bitter at God and now they're backslidden and they want nothing to do with God and yet they're genuinely saved. And I'm so thankful. I'm not the judge. God knows the heart. He will make that determination. But if I am going to flourish like a palm tree, I not only need to be positionally righteous and born again, I need to be practically righteous. That means I need to be living my life according to the Word of God. According to the way God says I'm supposed to be living, I need to be living that way. And if I'm living that way, I will flourish, number one, like a palm tree. Now, the date palm tree produced a lot of fruit. It covered many of the hillsides there in Judea and other parts of Israel. A lot of fruit, massive tree, grows about 70 feet tall, huge round tree, and it just produced a lot of fruit. And all across Israel, people would see the date palm and they just are excited because that's part of their heritage. The righteous, God said, will flourish like the palm tree, but the Israelites also knew about the cedars of Lebanon. Cedars of Lebanon, they were trees that grew, their diameter of the trunk was about 10 feet in diameter. 10 feet in diameter. They will grow to about 130 feet tall, massive trees. In fact, when David built the temple, he called for the cedars of Lebanon to be brought because it was such tremendous wood. And it was just an amazing thing. And so God says, you know what? If you are righteous, if you're saved, and you're walking daily by the Savior's side, you, as a Christian, you will flourish like the palm tree, and you will grow like a cedar in Lebanon. The word flourish there has the idea of budding, of breaking out, of spreading out, of being vigorous. And that's what God wants me to be. Spiritually, He wants me to be vigorous, full of life, which is what Jeff keeps begging for in a worship service. Are you alive? And somebody said, yes. Yes, we're alive. We need to be excited about the things of God. Again, some of you are going to be excited tonight when the Cowboys start beating up on the Eagles. And you're going to be cheering and yelling, yes! Right? A couple of us. Actually, probably, you guys may be more excited than I am. Who knows? But we get excited about football, right? Some of you get excited about shopping. Some of you get excited about Christmas, about other things. We need to be excited about the things of God. The righteous flourish like a palm tree. They grow like a cedar in Lebanon. And then he says this, those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. It's not speaking about a physical flourishing. Because he does not tell us here, and David is not saying, or whoever wrote this, is not saying to us, listen, if you walk daily by the Savior's side, you're going to have a BMW and a huge house, and you're going to have all kinds of money, and you're just going to be flourishing. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about flourishing spiritually. He's talking about having a life where you're producing spiritual fruit in abundance. When people look at you and they just say, there he goes again. There she goes again, producing fruit for God, doing something good for God. And we look at that person and we just constantly see they're doing everything they can to let other people know who Jesus Christ is. It's John the Baptist who is the finger of God pointing other people to Jesus Christ. It's not about me. It's all about him. And unfortunately, it cost him his life. But his whole life was, he was flourishing spiritually. Did he go through dark times? Of course. He was in prison. And he asked his disciples, he said, can you just go check again with Jesus and make sure he's the Messiah? Because maybe I'm mistaken, because I don't think that I'm supposed to be in prison. Like, I thought I was supposed to be out there doing more for him, but if he's the Messiah, why would he let me stay in here? It doesn't make sense, so go check with him again. And they went and checked and said, hey, John's just a little concerned. Are you really the Messiah? And he did not say, go back and tell him yes. He said, go back and tell him what you're watching me do. How I'm healing people. I'm helping people come to a saving knowledge of God. I'm changing lives. Go tell them what I'm doing. And when they went back and said, well, this is what Jesus is doing, he said, okay, he is the Messiah. I was misunderstood. I thought he was going to fix all of my problems, but that's not what the Messiah came to do. He came to bring in his kingdom. And so when we think about the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree, they shall grow like cedars in Lebanon. We will be planted in the house of the Lord. Here's a big question for you. Where are you planted? Because again, I planted some rose bushes in some soil that is not beneficial and doesn't produce pretty good roses. Now, produced something, but they didn't look like roses. They weren't anything that anybody would cut and bring into the house and look at that and say, well, that looks like a rose. I'm not sure what it looked like, but it wasn't a rose. It was, but it didn't look like a rose. And it all went back to the soil that it was in. It wasn't that the plants were bad. The soil was bad. And when you think about your life, we produce the type of fruit based upon the soil that we're planted in. If I spend all my time in front of a TV, in front of the internet, and I don't spend a whole lot of time in front of this, you are not going to produce the spiritual fruit that God is looking for. Now, I'm not saying TV is bad or the internet is bad or other things are bad. A lot of it is bad, but not all of it's bad. We praise the Lord for the technology we have today. But this is what we need to spend our time in front of. More than anything else in the world, we need to spend time in this book personally and daily, because this is how we walk by the Savior's side. And so if I neglect this, I promise you this, my soil will be bad. And my fruit that I produce will not be what God expects out of my life. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall bring forth and flourish what God wants. So when I'm planted in the Scriptures, and I'm planted in church services, and when I'm planted around other Christians, it helps me grow. Unfortunately, sometimes we feel like, well, I don't really need to spend a whole lot of time in church. But I think God tells us not to forsake the assembling of yourselves together. That's in the Bible. You say, I know, but I can hear a better message at home, and I would agree. You could. But God says not to forsake the assembling, because there's something about the soil of the local church that is extremely beneficial to your spiritual health. We do it 4 times a week, where we stir up the soil. And God infuses minerals and nutrients into the soil of what happens here. And the healthiest you can be is when you're here as often as you can be, around other believers. And it's interesting, because when you think about flowers, and, you know, we don't like bees, but bees need to pollinate, right? And they go from flower to flower to flower and help produce better flowers. Which is why we need to gather together, because God uses one another to do that, to help us to grow spiritually. And again, we don't think much about soil, but this place is a great place for the soil to be worked upon. The earthworms, they aerate the soil. And that's what God wants to do while we're here. He's helping us. So the righteous will flourish like a palm tree, like a cedar in Lebanon. Those to be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of God. Most of us have probably gone to Lancaster, and we've gone out Route 41. And it's a pretty drive. But you get around Avondale, and it stinks. And the reason it stinks is because there's a lot of mushroom farmers out there. And whoever thought years ago, you know what this dirt needs? Some manure. Let's plant some of our mushrooms in manure, and that'll probably help them taste better. I hate mushrooms, and it's not just because of the manure. But if I like them, I don't think I would eat them, because of where they're grown. But that's good soil for mushrooms. And guess what? Here's the problem that we sometimes face. God wants to produce stuff in your life, and sometimes God says, you know what? You know what's going to be beneficial for you? You know the type of fruit and the flower that I need to produce in your life? I'm going to have to dig around your life, and I'm going to have to plant you in some manure. And you're not going to like it. It's going to stink. And you're going to look at this other person over there, and you're like, well, they don't have anything around them. There's no manure around them. Everything around them, it just looks like wonderful, beautiful soil. And I'm planted in manure, and it doesn't make any sense. And we get frustrated with God's plan. But listen, I was created by Him and for Him, and He's the one who determines the soil in my life. So I need to get to the point where I say, God, if this is the soil that You want in my life, I need to accept it and say, okay, because You're the gardener. You're the husbandman. You determine what You want in my life, because I'm here to produce fruit for You. Go back to Psalm 1. Hold your place here. Psalm 1, he says in this tremendous passage, and if you don't know this well, you ought to study it and memorize it if you can. Psalm 1, the word blessed, often used in the Scripture, has the idea of supremely happy and joyful. Blessed is the man. that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in what? Which is the Bible. And in his law, in the Bible, doth he meditate when? And if you do that, God says, you will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. And you will bring forth fruit when? In his season. Your leaf shall not wither. Whatsoever you do shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. If I'm going to be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, if I'm going to be a tree planted in the courts of God, if I'm going to be like the date palm, if I'm going to be like a cedar of Lebanon that will produce good fruit and will be a long-standing and spiritually just one that has tremendous stamina, I need to plant my life in this book. I can't go a day without walking daily by the Savior's side. And don't tell me you walk daily by the Savior's side, but you don't have time for this. Because you didn't walk by his side that day. Because the only way you can walk daily in fellowship with him is if you're opening this book and hearing his voice. And read it until you hear his voice. You're not going to hear an audible voice. But you're going to hear a voice. God's going to speak to you. And so we need to be in the Word of God to hear from God, because that's where the righteous are planted. The righteous are planted in the house of God. We will flourish in the courts of our God. Notice he says in verse 14, they shall still bring forth fruit in old age. Still. If I'm going to still do something when I'm old, If I were to tell you, I was talking to my wife yesterday, I said, do you realize in 21 years I'm going to be 70? I was depressed. 21 years, I'm going to be 70 years old. And I said, what's even worse is in 11 years I'm going to be 60. I'm like, I can't imagine. But we get old, right? And if I were to tell you, when I turn 70, I'm still going to be using a cane. You're going to say, are you using a cane now? Well, no, I'm not using a cane now. But when I turn 70, I will probably still be using a cane. You're going to say, wait a minute. If you're not using a cane now, then you're not going to still be using it when you become 70. You will start to use it when you're 70. There's a big difference, isn't there? What did God say? If you're walking in fellowship with God, you will still be bringing forth fruit in old age, which means you're doing what in young age? Bringing forth fruit. Unfortunately, sometimes we get in our mindset, you know what? One day, I'm going to have time to really start serving God, and one day, I'm going to bring forth fruit. I don't have time when I'm young because I'm busy, and I've got so much to do, and my life is just packed. But you know what? I think one day, When I become a little older, I'm going to have time to really get serious about serving God one day. And one day I'll bring forth fruit. I can't now. In fact, I don't even have time to read my Bible, you know. But one day I probably will. One day I'm going to bring forth fruit. You know what God's going to tell us? No, you won't. No, you won't. Because if you're not doing it now, you're probably not going to do it later. If you're in your 20s and you're not having your daily devotions in your 20s, I'm not a betting man, but I bet you're not going to do it when you're 30s. And I'm not a betting man, but if you're not doing it when you're in your 30s, I'm pretty sure you're probably not going to do it when you're in your 40s. And guess what? You ask anybody here who is over 60, who's retired, ask them how much free time they have. They don't have a whole lot of free time. You know why? Because most of them are watching their grandkids half the day. And if they're not watching their grandkids, they're in the doctor's office. You see? Most of us think, I can't wait till I retire. I'm going to have all this time to just enjoy my life. And it's going to take you half an hour to get out of bed. Right? And you're like, where in the world? How? You want to bring forth fruit in old age? You better be doing it today. Because you're not going to start when you get old. You better do it now. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. Let me ask you a question. Please don't raise your hand or point at anybody else. But do you know any Christians who are old and who do certain things? They serve. They come to church. They're here. They're just cranky and miserable. What's the problem? They're not walking daily by the Savior's side. They somehow got the mindset that I need to do the right things. And if I do the right things, God will bless me. God never said that. He said, be righteous. How do I become righteous? I walk daily by the Savior's side. How do I do that? Spend time in this Word. Hear from Him. Listen to what He says. And when He tells you to do something, do it. And when He tells you to stop doing it, stop doing it. It's really pretty simple. But it's the hardest thing we have to do in a Christian walk, is to listen for the voice of God. That's why He says, be still. Where in the world, in your house, can you be still where it's quiet? Sometimes we have to turn those electronic devices off. Sometimes we have to walk away from the cell phones, and we have to find a place where we are just still before God and say, God, please speak to me. There's all kinds of devotionals out there. There is a very popular one, the 5-minute devotional. You give God 5 minutes a day and you will flourish. I don't think so. Let me ask you this. You give your wife 5 minutes a day. How deep is your relationship with her? It's probably not real deep, is it? You give your kids 5 minutes a day. Not real deep. Somehow we've gotten our mindset, if I give God 5 minutes a day, I'll be good. That's not God's plan. The righteous will still bring forth fruit in old age. They will be fat, and it doesn't mean obese. It means, in fact, there's a translation somewhere. It means to be full of sap and full of leaves. It's like that maple tree that's old but still producing sap. That's what God wants to see out of my life. He never wants me to get to the point where I can say, you know what? I've done my part serving God. I'm done serving. I've served for 20 years serving in the church. Let somebody else do it. Boy, I'm thankful for some of the folks here that are still serving God. They're fat and flourishing spiritually. They're still serving in old age. And they're excited about using their gifts and talents for the Lord and pleasing Him. If you could have seen Peggy about a half hour ago, can barely walk. She had to go up the stairs, and then she had to come down the stairs, and then she had to go down those stairs to teach junior church. But she delights in doing it. Walking with a cane, she did something to her Achilles tendon, and it would have been easy for her to say, you know, I can't go to church today. But she said, you know what, I want to be there. I want to serve God. You know, if we had a dinner today, you know what she'd be doing? She'd be setting all the tables. She'd have been serving. She'd have been everything. She would have said, I'll be the last one through the line. Because she's a servant. And her sister the same way. And they are fat and flourishing spiritually. And that's what God wants out of my life. He wants me to be to the point where when I'm old, I am still serving God. But I will not still be serving God when I'm old if I'm not serving Him now. I've got to do it now. And serving is not coming to church. It's looking for ways to serve. Dave's not here either. Dave's sick. Dave serves like you can't. He is here almost every day of the week serving. He's been painting the windows, scraping. I mean, how many love painting, scraping, painting windows? And he's got to do it on a ladder. He's done all kinds of stuff. He's getting ready to put in his door down. He does, and he won't ask for help. He said, you know what he's told me before? He said, if somebody wants to serve, they will come and ask me for help. Or they will come and ask me if I can help. And what an opportunity to just say, Dave, what's your next project? I want to be there with you. He's a loner. But if somebody came and said, I want to help you, he'll help. And he'll be with you. And we got people every week mowing the lawn. We got people cleaning the toilets, vacuuming the floors, cleaning around the church. But there's so much more that we could all do, that we all ought to have a purpose of what can I do to serve God in the church, in our community, telling others about Christ, inviting people to church. If I'm not going to, if I want to say, listen, one day I'm going to start inviting people to church, probably when I'm older, you probably won't do it if you're not doing it now. Do it now. And when you're older, you will still be inviting people to church. You will still be living for God. We'll be flat and flourishing. He says this, to show that the Lord is upright, he is straight. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. He reminds us that we understand that we as believers, if we are planted in Christ, the soil is really an immovable rock. It's Jesus Christ. So that if my roots go deep into Christ, nothing can come and destroy my life because I'm planted in the rock. You say, well, you don't grow stuff in rock except spiritually. And so when I understand that I am planted on the rock of my foundation is Jesus Christ, and I know that there is no unrighteousness in him, that means when the storms come, I don't question his faithfulness or his goodness. I trust him. When God says, I'm going to plant some manure around you because I need you to grow, and this is the soil that needs to be around your life, we say, well, God, I know this. I know that you're upright. And there is no unrighteousness in you. I don't like the smell of my life. I don't like what's going on here. I don't appreciate all that's happening. And I wish my life was more like him or hers. But this is how you've planted me. This is your purpose in my life. And so I want to produce fruit for you. That's what God's plan is for my life. The reason the righteous can weather the storms of life is because we're planted in the rock. There are some plants and some trees that just a brief strong wind can knock them over because of the soil they're in, because the roots don't go deep. But when you're planted in Jesus Christ, the worst storm that can ever be imagined can come, and it can blow you over, but it won't knock you down. And when the storm's gone, you'll be back upright because your roots are deep into your relationship with Jesus Christ. Great passages in Ecclesiastes chapter 12. He reminds us that when you get old, and he uses some humorous language in Ecclesiastes 12. He talks about our teeth falling out and our bones getting wobbly and our legs can't stand and, you know, our mind's not as sharp as it used to be. And he gives a great illustration of what old age looks like. It's not a good illustration, but it is a great illustration. And then he says this, because he's right, he didn't write to old people, but he said to you young people, one day you're going to be old. And I never thought that one day I would hit 60. But 11 years from now, I'm going to be 60. And I'm thinking, how did that happen? But I'm going to be old. My kids would tell me I'm already old. And the way I feel at times, I'm there. I can relate to Ecclesiastes 12. But you know what he says? He's writing to young people and he says this, you're going to be old too one day. So remember now your Creator in the days of your youth. Because it's easy to just forget about God. Because one day I'm gonna really be serious about God. But right now I'm in my 20s. Right now I'm in my 30s. I'm in my early 40s. When I get really old, like the preacher, that's when I'll get serious. And you know what he says? No, you won't. Remember him now in the days of your youth. And then he said this. Your purpose in life is to do two things. Fear God and keep his commandments. If you can learn to do that, if you can fear God and keep his commandments, you will be walking daily by the Savior's side. And you will produce fruit. Because if you fear God, you're going to get up every morning and you say, God, please tell me what to do. Because I don't want to mess it up. I don't want to make a wrong decision today. I want to follow your path. So please speak to me. Tell me what it is you want me to know today. And you'll be so afraid of starting your day without this book that you won't miss it. You'll be afraid of doing anything apart from his word. And throughout the day, you'll be in fellowship. You'll be talking to him. When something comes up and you're not sure, you say, Lord, I need some wisdom here. I need some help. What am I supposed to do here? And he recalls things that you've read in the morning or things you've read before. It's fellowship with God. And you'll produce fruit. You'll look for opportunities to serve him, and you'll do it. When there's things that come up and somebody's talking about some stuff over here, and you're like, I could help them out with the truth. Should I? Should I tell? Because they're talking about the fact that they're going to go to heaven by good works. Should I interject? God says, yes, tell them. Invite them to church. Pray for opportunities. Fear God and keep his commandments. It's the whole duty of man. Spurgeon said this, no heart has so much joy as that which abides in the Lord Jesus. No heart has so much joy as that which abides in the Lord Jesus. Where are you planted? Most of us, we get planted in front of a TV. It's our life. It's just the American way. We get planted in front of the TV. We get planted at work around unsaved people. We get planted in our neighborhood, probably around unsaved people. Our whole life is filled with wrong philosophy, lies, and we see the wrong kinds of things everywhere we go. But are you planted in the Word of God? Because if you're planted in the Word of God and you allow God to speak to you every day, it can help you when you see things on TV that are not true. You can spot it and say, that's not true. When you're around people at work who have a wrong mindset, you can say, well, that's not true. Because I know what the Bible says. Because I know what Jesus Christ said. And I have a relationship with him and I've talked to him. And maybe unsaved people in your home, when they say things or do things, you can say, no, but that's not what the Bible says. This is truth. This will keep you grounded. This will keep you from getting discouraged and wanting to give up. But you've got to be planted in this book. Because if you're not planted in him, you're not walking daily by the Savior's side. So let me ask you another question. Not only where are you planted, but if you were to look at the fruit in your life, genuine fruit, do you see it? Or do you just hope other people see fruit? Or can you honestly say, I see God producing fruit in my life? And sometimes I look around like, there's another thing. I didn't know where that came from, but God did that. Because God produces fruit. The interesting thing is, we can't make fruit. Fruit is, genuine fruit is an act of God. And spiritual fruit is an act of God too. Not am I doing good things, because I can do good things and not be true fruit. But fruit comes based upon where I'm planted. Where are you planted spiritually? Father, we thank you for your word and thank you so much that you're willing to plant us in the right location. You're willing to dig around our lives to send worms and minerals and all kinds of things. Lord, sometimes you spread manure. But Lord, it's all for your glory and all for your good, which is why we're here. We were created for you. We're created by you. Lord, it is so easy to evaluate our lives and our circumstances compared to somebody else's, and it can be very frustrating. But Lord, remind us that our flowers are distinct from everyone else's flowers. You have a design for our lives. And may we surrender to that truth. May we understand that there is no unrighteousness in you. And Lord, so as we close, I trust that each one of us would be willing to evaluate our own hearts and lives. Lord, if we're not being faithful to the church, if we're not being faithful in producing fruit, because we're not walking daily by your side, pray that you convict us, challenge us. And may we leave this place with a more fervent desire to live for you. We thank you and we ask for your help today in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn, if you would, to hymn 73, Thou Art Worthy. That's why we're here. That's why you're alive. It's to bring glory to Jesus Christ. It's not so that you can enjoy life, have a wonderful time, and then retire and live the golden years, which is a myth. Talk to the seniors. But God has created us for Him. Thou art worthy. Let's live with that thought in mind. Let's stand as we sing hymn 73, Thou Art Worthy.